listening to the Destiny Community Church podcast.
Well, again, it's my honor to be with you and to be a part of this Sabbath series, the To Don't List. And last week, Pastor Rocky kicked it off with Don't Work. Don't work. And a lot of us were like, oh, yeah, I need to hear more of that. Tell me not to work. Tell me to rest a little bit more, to throw my feet up, to just take a deep breath and to just enjoy life. We want a lot more of that. He shared from Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, the fourth commandment, if you're not aware. And it says this: remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. PR went on to state that neglecting our God-given rest and how God is our supernatural God, and that it's more, he is more than capable to do more in our moment of rest than we can do working ourselves, right? And so we are able to find rest in God. And so this morning, it's my goal and it's my hope to come alongside that message from last week of trusting God with our Sabbath, with number two of our to-don't list: don't worry. Don't worry. Now, when I say don't worry, one or two things probably start happening. First one is a list of things to worry about start flooding your mind. Things like, did I leave the iron on at home? Do we have enough money in the account to pay the bills that are due this week? Do I have coffee breath? And if you weren't thinking that, you weren't worried about it, now you may be, and I apologize, or you're welcome. Ask your neighbor for a mint. But this is the thing. Do not worry. If we weren't thinking of a list of certain things we started to worry about, maybe the words of Bobby McFerrin started to play in your mind. If you know it, sing along. It says, here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. In every life, you'll have some trouble, but when you worry, you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. The oohs and ahs, doo, doo, doo. I'm just kidding. We're not going to go that far into it. Don't worry, be happy. It's easier said than done, right? A lot of times we get so inundated with the things that's before us and we get so concerned. But this is the thing. 1989, Song of the Year, and that's 1989. Some of you are like, wow, that long ago. Yes, 1989, Song of the Year, Don't Worry, Be Happy, echoes the words of Matthew chapter 6. And that's where we're going to have our text today. So you can open up to Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. It says this: therefore, I tell you, do not worry. Now, I want you to say those three little words with me again. Are you ready? Do not worry. Trent Campus, let me hear you. Let's say it again. Do not worry. Now, one more time for the ladies at the FWRC, say it with me. Do not worry. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than just clothes? Now, I don't know about you, but it's verses like these that have the tendency to kind of make you a little uneasy in your chair. Maybe you feel a little guilty in these areas, because if we're all honest with ourselves, we all have the tendency at some time or another to worry. Show of hands, and this is not guilt. I don't want you to have condemnation on you or anything like that. But show of hands, if you have something you're worried about, me. You're not alone. There's hands up all over the room. Whether we're worried about our health, and who wouldn't be worried about their health, because all the stuff they're talking about, the chemicals are in our food and the things we cook with the Teflon and the pans. And I saw something the other day where you're not supposed to like use a plastic cutting board because the plastic pieces could get into your food. And you don't use a wood cutting board because the juices from like raw chicken and stuff can stay in the cutting board and it can make you. And I'm just like, what are we going to use then? What is there? What else is left? And all these things, we have things to worry about: our job, the finances, our kids. Let me tell you right now, if you have kids, you're probably a little worried who they hang out with, what they're watching, how much time they're spending online, the music they're listening to. Go back to 1989. Don't worry, don't have your kids. Listen to that one. Our future, our appearance, we're getting a little less on the top of the head, a little more right in here, right? We start looking and changing. We worry even about how we're going to die. Don't we? And you're like, well, I don't worry about the last one. Neither do I normally, except when I get on an airplane. It's something about being in a metal tube, defying the odds of like gravity, right? It's just all the way to the people, all the way to the baggage. You start hearing all the noises, the air pressure. And for me, I'm just like, all right, Lord, just let me fall in a deep sleep. Let me wake up at my destination, good to go. But for me, I've got an active mind. And when I start hearing certain things and I start seeing the wings on the plane bouncing, God forbid I have a window seat, I'll be honest with you, I'm human. I will start to worry. I know God has called me to do great and wonderful things. He's called me to raise a family, but I'm like, Lord, don't let it stop right now. I start to worry at times. Worrying has a way of creeping into our lives. But for the most of us, we can deal with a little bit of worry, but for some of us in the room, worry has a tight hold on our lives. Everything that we do is bound by worry. If there was an Olympic event for worrying, you would get gold every single time because you just worry, you're anxious all the time. What is worry? Worry, in this passage, derives from the Greek word merneihu. Merneihu is a root word meaning to be distracted or divided. When we're worried, we get distracted. Our spirit is divided. For example, when we get worried, it's easy to forget how to do the basic things, like put on shoes, like find your car keys. But when you're worried, sometimes you can pace back and forth, not being able to find these things and do the simple day-to-day tasks. For example, a couple years ago, I'm outside my shed. I've got my table saw out, and I'm preparing to cut fine pieces of wood from a 2x6 that I had, and I'm cutting them by, like, you know, 3/8 thick, and I'm wanting it pretty precise. And I did something that I should not have done. I put the blade and my guard really close to one another, and I'm pushing this wood through. Now, what started happening was it caused some force on the blade, and it started kicking back these pieces of wood. And I thought, you know what? I've got the answer to this. I'm going to take the first piece that I cut, the piece that I don't want because it's on the edge right there, and I'm going to use that as my guide, and I'm going to push that through. What I wasn't realizing was the same width of that first board that I cut was the width that I'm squeezing through the blade in the guard. And as I do that, I guess my wrist naturally turned the piece of wood, it bound and shot back and put a 3-inch gash in the middle of my wrist. I have it on the Ring camera. If you want to see it, I can show you after service. And as it hit my arm, I just grab it and I'm like, that hurt. And then I look to see blood everywhere. It's on my wrist. So my mind starts to panic. My mind starts to worry. And instantly I'm like, I'm dead. I'm going to bleed out right here in my backyard. Lord, I wanted to be more like in a blaze of glory, protecting my family or someone I love, not by a table saw. And so I make my way into the back door of the house and I instantly say, guys, we're short and sweet to the point. Nikki, that's my wife's name, emergency room now. Those three words, Nikki, emergency, well, room, now. And so I come in, I go to the bathroom, my daughter is there with me. We grab a rag and we wrap it around my wrist and I'm elevated and I'm squeezing it as tight as I can. And Nikki comes out and she's just in a panic. She's worried. I think she's worried about me dying. And I'm like, get your shoes. And by the time we wrap this, I tell my daughter, my beautiful, lovely daughter here, hey, you know what? I was barefoot outside. I at least get me some sandals or get me some shoes. She helps put some shoes on me. I'm still holding my arm up, you know. And I'm like, you know what? I didn't do my hair. Will you grab me a hat? Because this stuff is going through my mind. I was like, grab me a hat. She grabs me a hat. We're ready. I'm waiting. Nikki is still, where's my shoes? Where's my shoes? You know, she's worried. She's distracted. She can't find her car keys. And my daughter is like, Mom, get shoes on now. Mom, get your keys. When we're worried, I would like to say she was worried for my life. I'm starting to really think she was worried about the life insurance not really doing enough, you know, in her own mind. But she was worried to the point to where the simple day-to-day task, finding shoes, finding your car keys, was difficult. And worry has a way of getting into our lives where we can't do the day-to-day. We can't focus on making the decisions that we need to make in our lives. Why? Because we're so worried about the what ifs. Not only does worry distract us, but it also divides us. As Christians, we know that we shouldn't worry. Why? We are to put our trust in God. We know verses like Psalms 28:7, where it says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him I put my trust." Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for your welfare and for your future, not for evil." Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart," and what? "Lean not on your own understanding." So we know verses like this. So when we start to worry, there's this internal divide of trusting God to move and to act, but then we have the fleshly side of us that likes to be in control. When things aren't done on our timetable, or things aren't done in necessarily how we would have them be done, we start to get worried and we start to get anxious. Essentially, worry is the byproduct of not having control rather than being under the control of the Holy Spirit. We need to be under the control of the Holy Spirit, not under the control of our own selves. So real quick, I want to point out three truths. Three truths from today's word in Matthew chapter 6 of why we don't need to worry. And first truth is this. Truth number one, God cares for you. Isn't that reassuring to hear? God cares for you. God cares for me. And if you know the context in which Jesus is speaking here in chapter 6, Jesus is in the middle of teaching thousands of people. He's teaching things like how to live a life that's pleasing to God. He's teaching them how to pray, how to find and build a relationship with God. And right in the middle of it all, Jesus gives this new commandment. And a lot of times we don't think of Jesus' words and Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, as a commandment. But if God is telling you to do something, he's commanding you to do something. So he gave them this new commandment of don't worry. He doesn't do this to enforce more rules on his people. No, he does this. Why? Because he cares for them. Because he loves them. And just as God gave the Israelites the Ten Commandments so long ago, it wasn't to restrain them, but it was to bless them. And just like resting on the Sabbath, that is a blessing for us to get that rest. Jesus' new command of not worrying was to be a comfort, not a burden. He wasn't trying to make people feel bad about their worries, no. And this is the thing, I imagine I'm someone, like I said earlier, I like to play things out in my mind. I don't know if any of you do that. It's good and bad at the same time. I like to visualize certain things that are taking place. So when I read the scriptures, I like to try to put myself there and just imagine what is taking place at that moment. And here I envision Jesus is standing on the side of the mountain. He's pouring his heart out. His disciples are right there with him, and he's just sharing certain things. He's just talking to them. And how God, many, many other times throughout the scripture where he's in the middle of doing certain things, and it says, and he knew the thoughts of the people that were around him. I imagine this is kind of what's taking place. Jesus is pouring his heart out, and he's seeing all the people. He's looking at their faces back at them, and maybe, you know, they're not really connecting. Maybe they're just listening, and God feels, he senses what is on their hearts and their minds, and he realizes the two biggest needs that they have, what they're going to eat, how they're going to provide for themselves, how are they going to take care of themselves. It's on their hearts and on their minds. And here Jesus is saying, you know what? Don't worry. Don't worry. You know what? Let me have that worry that you have. Those struggles of daily providing and provision for yourself. You know what? Let me take care of that so you don't have to worry about it. For us, that's not usually the two biggest needs in our life. If we want food, what do? We go to the refrigerator. If we don't have food in the refrigerator, we'll call up a place, order it, bring it in. If we want clothes, we just go to the, what, dresser, the cabinet, or not cabinet, the dresser, drawer, or your closet, that's the word I'm looking for, and you open it up, and you have to weed through or wade through all your wife's stuff for you to find your stuff, guys, you know the problem. And we start looking, and we're like, oh, this is the shirt I'm going to wear. These are the pants that I'm going to wear today. Let me thumb through all the different shoes that I have laying on the floor right now for me to choose what I'm going to wear today. That wasn't a privilege that those people had in the day. They normally had one piece of clothing. They normally would eat one meal a day. They didn't have a whole lot of different meals. And so they didn't have the luxuries that we had. They had a very severe and desperate need. And God was wanting to meet that need for them. And he's wanting to do the same thing for us today. 1 Peter 5:7 says to cast your anxieties, your worries on him. That is Jesus. Why? Because he cares for you. God cares for you so much. He doesn't want us to be weighed down in life by our worries. And because God cares for us, he wants us to be free. Free from all the effects of worries. Do you realize just how damaging worry and anxiety can be on your life? Get this. It's like a poison. It is a poison. It affects your body by increased heart rate. It can increase the risk of cardiovascular diseases. That's a big word for me. So if I didn't say it right, forgive me. Aches, pains in the body, particularly where? In the neck, in your shoulders, in your back. You dizziness, lightheadedness. It could upset your stomach, and I'll just leave it right there. Nausea, heartburn, indigestion, you know, all those things. It affects all of that. It affects your immune system, how you can sleep. It brings on fatigue and insomnia. It can lead to panic attacks, things like depression. Worry steals our joy. Worry bounds up hope. And do you realize worrying has never paid one of your bills? Worrying has never healed someone from their sickness. Worrying just brings more trouble in an already troubled mind. Worry doesn't bring about peace, it destroys it. Worry fosters our fears and just builds upon our doubts. And it's no wonder why God tells us not to worry, right? Because he wants better for us. Truth number two is this, that God will provide for you. God will provide for you. Let's pick it up, verse 26. It says, look at the birds in the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet the heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about such things like clothing? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon, all of his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into fire, how much more, or will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Now, I don't know if we realize something here in the scriptures, but Jesus, I want to say this without sounding blasphemous or wrong here, but this is kind of a flex move on Jesus' behalf right here. I don't know if you realize this, but Jesus is just like, guys, you realize, look at all the birds. You see those birds over there? I don't know if you realize this, but I fed them today. Not only today, but I feed them daily. Not only looking at the birds, you see all these flowers on the hillside here? I created all those. You see how beautiful they are? I created that. And God is saying, look, if I could take care of these things, I got you too. There's no need for you to have to worry. There's no need for you to have to stress. I've got everything under control. And then if you realize, if you know your scriptures, there's this isn't anything new. God has a way of providing for his people time and time again. God provided for the Israelites when they were walking through the wilderness every single day with fresh manna, except for on the Sabbath. Then he allowed them to gather double the day before. Every single day, God provided food for them. He provided clean drinking water from a rock in a dry place. He had ravens, DoorDash, breakfast, and dinner every single day to the prophet Elijah. He gave an endless jar of flour and an endless jug of oil to the widow that she could make bread every single day. When three young men were thrown into the fiery furnace, God provided that not a hair on their head or a cloth or a piece of cloth was singed. Not even the smell of smoke was upon them. God provided for them. When Daniel had a little sleepover in the lion's den, he sent an angel that would close the mouth of the lion. Why? Because God provides for his people. He provides. And if he provides for the birds of the air, and he provides for the lilies of the field, and he provides for the people that are in this book, God will provide for you as well. Truth number three is this: God knows what you need. God knows what you need. Even before you ask it, God knows our needs. God knows our hurts. He hears our cries. He knows our sorrows. God knows our needs. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 and 32. So I say again, do not worry, saying, what shall you eat? What shall you drink? Or what shall you wear? For even the pagans, that's those who don't even believe in God. He's saying, look, everybody else, they run after these things. I'm talking to my disciples. I'm talking here to my people. If you put trust in me, you don't have to chase after these things. Remember, I've already called you to be different than the rest of the world. You're not going to chase after these things. I'm going to provide these things for you. Don't be like everybody else, for the pagans run after these things. It says, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. How reassuring again it is that our heavenly Father knows our needs. Don't miss out on that. The one who created everything knows in advance what you need. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords already knows what you need in advance. The author and the finisher of life already knows what we need. And we not only need but to ask him. Call out, say, God, this is it. God, I'm putting it out before you. This is my worries. These are my concerns. God, you know what goes inside my heart. You know the battles that are taking place. And God, I'm ready to just lay them over and out before you right now. He knows what we need and he reassures us. In verses 33 and 34, it says this, but seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. When he says all, again, I don't want us to misrepresent God's word, and I'm not trying to relay things that aren't there. I'm not saying God is gonna provide the winning lottery tickets for you. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that God is gonna give you a new car like Bob Barker. Come on down, he's not doing that. What God is saying is this, that your needs, you trust in me. You seek after the things that I direct you and I call you to go. I'm going to provide for you. He's looking at his disciples and saying, look, just like I don't have a home, if I called you from your families, I'm telling you to go forth. I'm telling you to pray. I'm telling you not to worry about fishing. I'm telling you don't worry about earning income and trying to get food and provide for your family and get all the stuff. Why? Because I've called you outside of that. And I'm sending you forth. And guess what? If I'm sending you forth, I'm going to provide for you. God has called us out of the darkness, to put our faith and our trust solely in him. Will God not come alongside us and provide for us our daily needs, our daily provisions? God has given us abilities to do things that we could never do on our accord, our own accord. He's able to give us skills and talents that we would go and we could earn money and that we could do things to build the kingdom, all while knowing that we are not alone in this, that God is with us. Continue in verse 33. And all these things will be given to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Can we just pause there for a moment? I don't know about you, but I would love to be able to live a life that's free of worry. And the world and tomorrow is worrying about its own stuff. I don't want to have to worry about the things of the world. I don't want to worry about everything that's happening in this part of the world or that part of the world. What I know is this, what God has said. And what God has said is that I can trust him. I could rely on him. I could have hope and assurance that he's not going to leave me or forsake me. But in my time of need, God is going to be right there with me and he is for me. He goes on to say that each day has enough trouble on its own. You know what? Why add to it? Because guess what? We're gonna have flat tires in our world. Let me make it a little more personal. I'm not gonna prophesy this over you. And if you get a flat tire on your way home today, don't call me up. But in our life, we're gonna have times that we're gonna be stuck on the side of the road with a flat tire, a car that's not working. There's going to be times that we get the phone call of someone close to us that is sick and hurting. We're going to have a time in our lives when things are just bad, when we get a 2x4 through our wrist. But understand this, even in the midst of those things, we still have a reason not to worry and doubt our God, because he is faithful. He is one that is worthy to put our trust and our hope in. In closing, I heard a story the other day about a group of kids who had to walk to and from school every single day. Now, I didn't have to walk to and from school. I rode the big yellow dog, and I didn't have to worry about, you know, the things that would meet me on the way to school or on the way home from school like these kids did. These kids, every single day, they had to walk past this big old house. They had a big old dog in that yard. And I don't know about you, but like these kids, I'm not too fond of dogs. You're like, well, my dog is a nice dog to you, but not to me. And so God has gave me a healthy concern of dogs. And these kids, every single day, they would have to walk past this yard with this big, ferocious dog that would bark loudly. And not only would he bark at them, he would start chasing after the kids. And even though the kids knew that the leash and the chain on the dog was only so far, and eventually the dog couldn't go any further, they were so concerned that one day that the dog would escape and be able to get a hold of them. Eventually, what started happening with these kids is there was no other way to navigate around this house and that dog. So what started to happen was worry started to set in every single day. Blocks before they ever got to the property, they would start to worry about, is today the day that it's going to let loose and then the dog's going to get us? One day, as all this is transpiring, the dog sees the kid and going after the kid and barking and loud and the kid screaming and running off. The owner happened to witness everything. So the next day, the owner wakes outside. He's got the dog on a leash outside of the boundary in which the dog was normally in. And before the kids could take off and start running, the owner started waving him down and said, no, come here. Come here, come close. My dog won't bite you. There's nothing to worry about. And as the kids made their way closer, the man reached down and he kind of pulled the upper lip of the dog to show him, look, my dog doesn't have any teeth. See, there's nothing to worry about. Sometimes we do the same thing. We worry about things that seem scary, but in the end, they have no real power over us. The bark might be loud, but there's no bite.
Thanks for listening to the Destiny Community Church Podcast. To learn more about DCC, including our service times and location, visit us at destinycommunitychurch.org.